311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9. And as you know, it is Sunday afternoon. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday. I am your host this afternoon. I am Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins. And with me, I have Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Mr. Andrew Taylor himself. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me again, sir.
Yes, please. As always, you know, actually, you say having me again, but you were here two weeks ago.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks ago.
In my absence, I was otherwise assigned that you took over the reins and did a wonderful job. I heard the program, and I definitely thought you guys did a wonderful job. We had about our very own Natasha, the popular Natasha Ford, who everybody likes to hear. We had her, and Divisional Officer Mears also was here.
He doesn't
make an appearance too often, but we kind of hold him for the last couple now that we can get him.
We almost had the meter for our prevention family.
Yes, for sure, for sure. So this afternoon, as usual, we like to give information to the public, let you know what is going on in the fire department and different things that may, you know, pertain to you, safety, health, etc.
Yes.
As you know, that is our primary thing alone, not only fire, but is health and life safety as well within what we do. And today we are going to speak towards inspections.
Yes.
If time permits, we will probably also go into
fire reports, which is
also a topic that, you know, we need some clarity on, the public needs some clarity on. And that is something that we may go into if time permits, but for sure we're going to speak to fire inspections.
Yes.
And fire inspections, as everyone, well, some people may know, some may not know, but it is an annual event. It is something that happens. You have to do it on an annual basis. And a lot of persons get their bearings a little crossed at times in terms of what to do, the procedures and how it's supposed to be done.
When to do it,
and that kind of stuff. Some people even have mix-ups in terms of, and we will get into those details as we go on into the show. But right now, I think we would want to start with what, the step then? Because, you know, some persons, we get calls on a daily basis as to how do I have a business, I need to have it inspected, or I went to whatever to get something and they said, I need to have it for inspection first. How do I go about it, you know?
Yes.
What you need to go about first is remembering this website, and I have said this website countless times on the program before, but I'll say even again, fireservice.gov.bb, www.fireservice.gov.bb. And, you know, every time I say to people, remember it, because it is what, that is the way forward now. Everything we do, whether it be training, whether it be inspections, whatever burn permits, whatever have you, has to be done through that medium. And it is very important that you, if you're doing business with the Barbados Fire Service, to keep that in your mind, because that is something you're going to have to get accustomed to. I'll say it again, fireservice.gov.bb, that is your starting point. You go to the website and there's a red tab at the top of the page. You hover over the word inspections and that will highlight a few drop-down items, and what you will have to click on is inspection application forms. And as long as you do that, you click on that, you fill out the entire form. Now, there are a number of things on that form that persons tend not to fill out.
And you're stressing on inter.
Yes, inter. You know, because the only thing that, you know, you can be given a blank for, so to speak, is where it says there's a part about zip code. That is not really that relevant on this particular form, even though there's a space for it there. But in terms of the name of the business, and the name of the business is very important, because oftentimes, persons come, they write whatever name, probably what comes to mind at the time, and then at the end of the inspection, when the certificate is printed and they come to collect, they will say, but the name is not this, or the name is this with that.
Exactly.
But we, whatever name shows up on that first certificate at the end is the name that you would have applied, had on that application form.
Or in some cases, as you were saying, Collins, people will come and say, okay, my business is Biscuits R Us, but they're really trading as Bread R Us. So you know, people tend to forget that they have their business name and their trading name.
Correct.
And you really have to be, you know, specific with us as to which name you want on your certificate.
On your certificate.
Because it's not as easy as it's just going into the system and clicking it and changing the name.
Correct.
We have to go through our IT techs and have them actually go into what they call the back end.
Correct.
And change this information. So we just really want people to be cognizant that whatever name they want to see on their certificate, make sure that is a name that you give us up front.
Very, very true, very important. Because make it easier for us to make it easier for you.
Correct.
That's as simple as we can put it, you know. There at the top of that form, you will see some name mark business reference number. That is not of a great concern for you, especially if you have a new business. If you're a new business, that will be automatically generated at the your application is logged into our system. If you are a previous business, you don't even have to think that because it automatically generated anyhow. But if you care to put it in, it is the number on top of your, I mean, look at one of your previous certificates, correct. The number doesn't change. It starts with FS and it has a number of numbers that follow a letter that go after that. And that is your what we call your business reference number. But you don't have to worry too much about that. The business name is extremely important.
Yes.
You make sure that it is the name of the registered name of your business that you want to see on your certificate. And obviously, the other things are self-explanatory, address, telephone, contacts, whether it be home, whether it be work, mobile, whichever, all of the contacts. But what I want you also to be mindful of, and this is a very important part on the form that I would like to see you fill in, is the part that says type of business. This is very, very important. Not only, it is very important for us to keep our records as well, to categorize what type of business you are. You know, you might say bread or biscuits or whatever it is. So we may think, okay, well, that is a bakery, that is a, you know, place that these that kind of stuff. But then you may have a name that is not that simple or not that straightforward. So we advise you to always that portion of the application form that says type of business, and they have some examples laid out on the application form that will say, like, for example, entertainment, accommodation, educational, daycare, senior citizens, etc. You fill out whichever you category you fall into. If it is not one of those categories, you obviously know what your business does. You can list the category as it relates to it. So those are some of the things. A lot of persons also do not put out the owner of the business.
Yes.
You know, so because all the information that we ask for is the information we need to log into our system. And our system will only take your application if we have such information to add to the system as well. And the business owner is very important, the owner of the business. Oftentimes we get applications that people do not have anything other than the name of the business, the address, telephone number, and, you know, they don't have the owner of the business and so on. And that's important. You should have an idea. You should know who's owning the business. You know, if you are filling out the form for the application, exactly, I'm assuming that you know who's the business owner. But that is also information that we like.
And another thing too, we, as Collins was saying, we're not putting these questions to make the form wordy or to frustrate you. This is genuinely information that we need to actually facilitate the inspections and actually get the right information into our system. Because you even see on the form, you have owner of business and maybe then owner of building.
Correct.
Because it could be completely two different people.
That is correct.
So once again, the space. Correct. Once again, we go back to my example, Biscuits R Us.
Correct.
So it could be the owner of Biscuits R Us, but it could be in Collins Limited Building.
That is correct.
Right? And not Collins the pharmacy, but Jason Collins Limited Building. Okay. And I need to show that difference that, okay, yes, even though my business occupies all of the building, that the building belongs to Jason Collins. Okay, so these are things that we need to know at the fire service. We're not trying to pray or anything like that, but obviously if it comes down to a case where there's an emergency or a fire at the business, then we need all that information for our incident reports and our fire reports, which hopefully we may get to a little later. So you can see we're all teasing that we're not just asking you, you know, EMS questions. We actually need this information to make our lives and your lives a lot easier.
That is correct. I have a relevant email. I think any business owner at these times will have an email. That is also important information. And your contact info in terms of your numbers and the person to speak to. You see, what happens in a lot of these instances is that, for example, Taylor might be working at my establishment, or his, well, Biscuits R Us, we're going with that today. So since we're in the biscuit movie, we're going to Biscuits R Us. So I may be working at Biscuits R Us, I may be the contact person, Jason Collins, the contact person, but next year I may be transferred. I may have left or something, but you have not updated the information.
Exactly.
Or I may, my number, my personal cell number might be the contact. You have not updated that.
Or you may have even moved. Your business may have even moved.
Correct. So it is important that that information as well, you have that information updated. So if, for example, you apply now, this is the month of July now.
Yes, correct.
And say by December or in January, something changes.
Yes.
Update that information. Make a call to the fire service or something and update the information so that we can update it in our system. So that next year when we make that call now and we go to call for Jason Collins and we hear, but Jason Collins is not Jason Collins' words.
Correct.
Because it is, you know, it is important that we have the information updated. As I said, it makes life easier for us and yourselves as well. Very often we get persons come in and when you ask them, is this still the same information that you go through? And you call a number, they're like, I don't even know that number. I don't even know that person. So, you know, so when there's transitions, it'd be nice to update the fire service so that we also can update our system and keep relevant information relating to your business. All of this creates and makes for a smoother transition, whatever it is we're doing as, you know, as the time goes on. So those are basically the steps in terms of filling out the form. And you would also realize the importance of having the business type when you get down to the end of the form where it asks you for the fees.
Yes.
Because based on the type of business and how many floors and square footage and so on, depending on what category you fall in, that's why the business category is so important.
Yes.
It will be able to tell you which category you fit into, which cost you would have to pay.
Correct.
For your annual inspection. I said an annual inspection because it has to be done, as you said, every year.
Every year.
Right? So we did speak to the steps, we spoke to the relevant information that you need to fill out, and the reasons. We even give you some reasons why you need this information. Mr. Taylor, is there anything you want to add as it relates to that? Because you would have had.
Well, so just even in terms of the, because as Collins went through, he gave you the website, he told you the steps when you get on the website, how to fill the form, and then actually how and the relevant information that should be on the form. So now what happens after that is your inspection request is then logged.
Correct.
Basically, and assigned to
an inspecting
officer. Now that officer will contact you and set up, you know, an appointment or make arrangements to come out and do your inspection for you. And a lot of people have been confused because they will say to us, but someone came and did the inspection already. And then we may ask, okay, well, what was the name of the officer or whoever?
Or let's see the certificate.
And they will show you the certificate from their service provider.
Right.
Or they will tell us, well, someone from one of the private companies came by to do an inspection. No, yes. That is a type of inspection.
That's correct.
But it's not the inspection that we at the fire service are already worried about.
Right. It's not the fire safety.
It's not the fire safety inspection. Correct.
That's an inspection of your equipment.
Of your equipment, correct.
Of your fire fighting or fire protective equipment.
Correct.
To make sure that it is up to date.
Exactly, up to date.
So when we come to do our inspection,
So just following on, as Colin said, so when your service provider comes through, and they actually check your extinguishers, they may check your fire alarm system, smoke alarms if you have, smoke detectors if you have any. Okay, but when someone for any fire service comes, we are already truly coming under the covering of the Safe and Health at Work app. Okay, and for now, we are the only entity.
Correct.
That can actually come through and check for this these fire safety issues that may arise at your organization or your business.
Right.
So we are not only looking to make sure that your extinguishers are up to date or your smoke alarms are up to date, but we also check for general health and safety issues. As Collins was saying earlier, we don't only look for the fire stuff. Okay. So we look for things like to make sure that your exits are clear.
Like the word I use a lot is good housekeeping.
Yes, good housekeeping.
That's exactly
correct.
What we, you know,
correct. Good housekeeping. So making sure that your exits are clear. You don't have cabinets in the hallway that that reduce your, what we call your path of egress, correct, or your path of escape if something happens. Okay, make sure that your exit signs are up. You actually have exit signs, that you don't have your emergency exit locked,
exactly,
or blocked. Okay, also that you don't have a lot of clutter around your office. So a lot of old files, a lot of old, let's say, desks and machines that have been stacked on site since 1975 or something like that. That when we come through, you say, oh, you know, we just put those there for a little while, but if you had actually had a check, they've been there for a few years. And all of these things account for what we call furloughing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're actually storing things in your building that in case a fire happens, you're actually adding extra fuel to your company.
And in addition, you spoke to exit signs.
Yes.
And sometimes in some cases, directional arrows. Now, they may explain, you may say, but I work there, know the place, all of my staff know the place. One of the things that a lot of people don't take into consideration, you have to as a business owner, is that you're not only responsible for yourself and your staff, yes, members, you're responsible for what we call your external customer. And those, correct, are persons who may be doing business within your establishment on a day-to-day, or who a person may come there for the first time, and ironically, while they are there, something happens.
Exactly. Alarm goes off.
And depending on the dynamic of your building, there's no telling that the person will be able to find their way back to an exit and to safety or to the assembly area. So that is where directional arrows and so forth are very essential to help not only you, the internal customer, but your external customer as well.
Yes.
Because some person might ask, but we need a directional arrow. Everybody know the place. I only have 6 staff members. Everybody know the place. But that is not only for the purpose of your internal customer, but your external customer.
Yes. And even following on from that, you know, people would brag and say, but we know the place. But we have seen on many occasions where if we turn off the lights or we add some artificial smoke to an area,
different dynamic.
The same people who are saying, yeah, I've been here for 10 years and I know the place at the back of my hand. You know, these people are then actually scrambling,
correct,
trying to find their way out. So it's not such a case of knowing, but putting the steps in place to make sure that everyone is safe.
Yeah, funny enough, only last week I was doing a presentation and I was explaining to some youngsters that you say you know the place. I say, well, I have a challenge for you. You can go home and practice it. And I throw up this challenge to every one of our listeners here on BOB today as well. If you think you know your place, where you live, blindfold yourself, scare off or whatever have you. Get someone in the house to take you to another location. You blindfold yourself one place, but you get someone to take you to another location of your house.
Correct.
Spin you around a few times,
yes,
and you find your way to the exit. That is your homework. That is your challenge. And I guess you would call somebody at Starcom. You could somehow, some way, I want to find out how that went for you, how that experience went, how easy it was for you to find your exit in your house. Because we think we know where we live. We think we are here every day. We know where we work. We know our environment. But it changes. It's a completely different ballgame when you've lost that sense of being able to see. And I have said it to people, I say it over and over, for a firefighter who has experienced it, when you are in a smoke-filled environment, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And a lot of people, you know, look at me strange when I say it. You know, I guess a lot of people who watch Chicago Fire, all of these different movies, see the firefighters in the building, and you can see all the layout of the building, all that good stuff that they do in Hollywood.
Hollywood.
In the real world, in the real world, you really cannot see your hand in front of your face in a smoke-filled environment. And it's that serious. So that is why it is very important that, you know, good signage, and usually we ask people to get the signage that reflects because that helps, right, a lot. And as I said, that drill though that we just spoke about is not it can be fun, yes, it's a nice drill that you can do with your family, even your children, everybody can do it, but it's also a drill that can help you if something should ever happen and you need to be you need to get out, you know, in an emergency situation that you happen to
find. I don't think we're going to get a lot of phone calls about that one. Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot of feels.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to continue in terms of what we look for on our inspections. So we even ask about how many staff members you have there. We look at something called our max occupancy. So on a good day when your store, a or your business or organization, you know, is at its peak in terms of human traffic, how many people are actually in that space at that particular time? So you see, we really go further in terms of our checks, because I said we're not only looking in terms of fire safety, but general life safety. And you may ask, okay, but what do you want to know that at 12:30, that my restaurant has 50 people instead of, you know, at 7 o'clock, we may only have 20? Because we're looking at if something happens during peak time, how many people we may be rescuing, how many people be actually hurt, how many people actually be on the compound at that point in time. Because I said, if we're coming there and we know, hey, biscuits are us, around 12:30, 1 o'clock is completely full, and that store can hold 150 people. If we hear about a building collapse at biscuits are us at 12:30,
we know
we are expecting that when we go there, we have to be rescuing, you know, at least 75 plus people, you know, if they didn't get out on time. So I say we go a lot further than your service provider in terms of our inspection. And they said our inspection is coming under the cover with the weight of the legislation pertaining to the Safety and Health at Work Act. So it is something that you have to do. I find that, unfortunately, we're still hearing a lot of people saying that they don't know that they have to do an inspection. And honestly, it boggles our minds to hear that in 2022.
Especially as a business owner.
Especially, exactly.
If you're a business owner, I think things like those, you need to keep your ear close to the ground. And to be aware of, you know, because you would have to, in some way, if you're serious about what you're doing, you know, you want to find out these things, what do we have to do, how will the process, exactly, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So
it's a little mind-boggling for us at this stage to hear persons who are still unaware of the fact that under the CFT app that we're at, which we've heard so much about in the last couple of years, you know, still don't understand
that they have to
have an annual inspection.
Inspection. And the importance of it.
Correct.
Because if they actually had to read through the app, they would really understand the importance.
Correct.
Because we still even get some people asking us, but can you just turn up? And the answer is yes. honestly, when we call, you know, we are being courteous and we try to work with people, you know, in terms of coming at the, I guess, the appropriate time for them.
Correct.
But we have to remind people that emergencies don't call.
Very much so.
So a fire is not going to call, a gas leak, the internet explosion is not going to call, right? An earthquake causing the building to collapse is not going to call. So we want people to understand that when we just turn up randomly, we're not trying to catch anyone doing anything wrong at the end of the day. Our main aim is to educate you, inform and educate. We're not there to be like the big bad parent and make you feel bad about stuff, but we just want to inform you and let you know, hey, what you're doing now, you have to stop. You cannot keep doing this, you know, anymore. And we are there to guide you. We can give you all the information that you need. You know, if you need to stay there and talk to you for a half hour for you to understand it, we will do that. Because at the end of the day, when we walk away from there, we want to feel comfortable that you are taking steps to make your business place safe for yourself, your staff, and as Colin said, your customers.
Yeah. I even want to add to that. I always say to people, like Taylor was saying, we're not here as like the big bad wolf or anything like that. But what I look at it, what I see it as, is me helping you.
Correct.
And your investment. Yes. Because if you have a business, clearly you would have had to invest some sort of finance into that business.
Correct.
And what I'm there to do is to say to you, okay, well, you know what? This is not good here. Put it over here because it's safer over here.
Correct.
The boxes are too high, bring it down. Because if that box is too high and that like balance goes bad or it starts to malfunction, you can lose your entire investment.
And knowing that every box is too high, it's not packed up here
properly.
You know, becomes a hazard.
It's a hazard.
Exactly.
It falls on one of your workers.
Or worse, a customer.
Or a customer worse. lawsuit, and we all know the whole thing, how it goes and how it can be. And then you may have to be out thousands of dollars,
yes,
in damages to that person.
Business may close.
Business may close because a lot of, I mean, you know, we speak of the struggle day to day. COVID has also added to the struggle, lack of business, lack of customers, all of these different things. So when we come, I always say to people, it is not a case of being come at you as a judge and jury. It comes as basically to help you to protect your investment in the best way possible, the safest way possible, and protect all of the persons that work and that do business within your organization.
Right. And also when we come and do our inspection, one of the questions we will ask is, has your staff been trained?
Correct.
All right. Does anyone know how to use the extinguisher? Do you know how to get out of your building if the alarm goes off, if something goes wrong? And you would be surprised if we had to do a poll, Collins. I mean, the more people be asked, you know to use that extinguisher?
I would say, I run outside.
I run outside.
What, wait, you throw it at the fire?
Exactly.
Those are the kind of responses we get.
Correct.
Though it, some people, you know, bring over, you know, jovially and so on, it is really very serious. It's very serious. When you really sit down and consider that persons are working in environments and there's an extinguisher a few feet away from them and they have not a clue what to do.
Correct. Because even going back to what you were saying about an investment, imagine having all of your staff trained in fire safety and one of your staff members actually sees the fire starting.
Correct.
And they can quickly get that extinguisher,
yep,
and extinguish that fire because and save your business, possibly save the building,
save the job, you know,
yeah, right? And because people don't look at the follow-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's always a chain reaction where there's a fire. So it's not just saying, okay, well, the store burned and that's it. No, after the store burned, people are out of work.
Yeah.
Okay, and the person who's out of work, maybe the breadwinner and the family.
Exactly.
Okay, so you know, it's a ripple effect. So you really want to, you know, help people to see that, as Collins keeps saying, we're not the big bad wolf. We're not judges, anything to that effect. All we want to do is to make sure that you are safe, that your customers are safe, your staff members are safe, because that is our job, to keep people safe. We were hired to take care of you.
Okay. And in addition, you also want to have that every person within that organization sees their role as important.
Yes.
You may say, oh, in my place, I would just get up and go outside. But when the place burns, you're out of work.
Exactly.
So it affects you, as Taylor said, it's always a ripple effect. So we have to look at it from that perspective.
And so another thing we also would check for is the, as Collins mentioned earlier, we talked housekeeping. So to make sure that you don't have anything around the building that may also add to the fire load.
Correct.
So a lot of, say, old lumber or old appliances on the outside that anyone can say pass and toss a cigarette or anything into that can cause any further issues.
And that basically comes down to keeping surroundings clean.
Correct. That's correct. So I just hand back over to Collins now, where you speak to the end of the inspection. So after the inspector came through, you know, did their job, and you have actually passed your inspection. So let's let you know quickly that if you do not pass the inspection, then we have to do something we call a re-inspection,
which is half the
original fee.
Correct.
So it's best to, you know, give us a call for, you know, what you need to get, you know, so as we can come and do a walkthrough with you and give you some advice so you can avoid that re-inspection.
Yeah, and at the end of that inspection, when you come to actually collect your facility certificate, one of the things I want people to remember, and I try to drill this over and over because I don't know why people don't see it as being something that should be obvious, but if you would have made a payment, if you would have made your payment for your inspection months prior to the inspection being done, when you come to collect your certificate, you will need to have your receipt with you, or whether it be a hard copy or soft copy, you can have it on your cell phone or something that we can see that you would have made a payment. Some persons might pay at different institutions by the time they get the defense, everything. Oh, but I paid at Treasury or whatever. I have no proof of that. So the only proof is that you walk with your receipt, so to state that you would have made that payment, and it makes for a smooth sailing. What could take 5 minutes can end up taking 10 to 15 minutes because you don't have that receipt. Then I have to try to do all kind of magical and MacGyver things to get it, you know. So we implore you to just walk with that receipt. That's a very important part when you're coming to collect.
Yes.
I think we've covered, we didn't even get into our reports. We have to do another show.
Another show, correct.
Not a show in itself, I guess. But I think we've come to the end of today's proceeding. That time goes along so quickly on Sundays, just like your Sunday cooked food that tastes so beautiful right now. I know it goes very quickly. But we have come to the end of yet another 311 show, yes. Mr. Taylor. And I just want to say a thanks to you for being here and being a part of today's show. I want to say a thanks to you listeners who constantly listen and who give us feedback, because I get calls, text messages, I get people see me on the road, people might hear my name and say, oh, so now you put a face to the name and all of that stuff. We really thank you for your continued support. Thanks, Tarcom, for always having us here.
Yes.
Yet the end of another show. And as we always say at the end of every 311 radio show, fire prevention is our intention. Just before I go, I want to say though that if you miss any of today's proceedings, you can always visit the VOB's podcast at www.vob929.com or on their Facebook page, VOB92.9 FM, if they post it, because I have not seen one of the posts on Facebook for quite a while. So I'll probably have to delve into that. Crystal J, I would have a word with you and find out what's going on where that is concerned. But thank you and have a wonderful week, Barbados. Bye-bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.